السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا. Welcome to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is just gone 12 minutes after 11. It's Tuesday morning, and Tuesday means tech news for Al Mashriq listeners. We, inshallah Aziz, are going to be looking at a few different tech stories, inshallah, and take benefit out of those different tech stories, inshallah Aziz, and see what's beneficial and what's good for us in different stories around the world. Well, in terms of tech and technology, you know, we always have issues with technology. Sometimes it's beneficial, sometimes it's harmful. Now, you've heard of the Ashley Madison issue that's been brewing and has come out in the news. The police suspect two suicides are related to the release of information stolen from the relationship cheating website. Now, this is a website that was set up to basically invite married people to be able to cheat on their spouses anonymously. So if you're a married person, you logged onto this website, you created a profile, and you would find another married person who wanted to cheat on their spouse, link up, and you would cheat on your spouses. So basically it was a website that was promoting, encouraging, and facilitating adultery. And it was a really serious issue. There were thousands of people that were involved in it. Hackers found out about it, and they decided that this is not acceptable. This is not something that we want to be happening in the world, where people are facilitating illicit relationships, people are facilitating married people getting involved in illicit relationships. And so they got in, they hacked the website, they got out all these participants' personal details and put them out on the internet and let everyone hear about them and see these people's information. Now, as soon as this came out in public, obviously you found a lot of people who were caught red-faced, found a lot of people who were caught involved in this Ashley Madison website, and there was an actor who was involved as well, and there was many others involved in that as well. And so people, marriages are now at stake, and people's lives are at stake, relationship are at stake, and obviously now people don't know how to deal with it, they don't know how to handle it, and then unfortunately people go into the extreme that there's nothing left for me, I take my life and I leave this world. And it's a really, really sad thing that people have to relate or resort to that consequence in order to resolve the issues in their life. Now, come to the question of stopping the website. Yes, that could have been done, but to the extent of exposing people's personal details and bringing them out in public, that we would say Islamically, it is not a correct way of dealing. It is not a correct way of nahi anil munkar. And we know that our responsibility as Muslims is nahi anil munkar. And if we can take one lesson from this, we need to understand the method of doing nahi anil munkar is that when you want to stop somebody, then you go to them, you speak to them, and you explain to them the harms of what they are doing, explain to them the importance of staying away from that, explain to them the importance of remaining conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and give them an understanding of what it is to do the correct thing instead of doing the wrong thing. And that is the way that we do nahi anil munkar. And very, very importantly, when doing nahi anil munkar, is that we never expose the name of the person or shame that person in public, or get that person get that person exposed and ashamed, and that person must be now hiding away because of their name being exposed because of the wrong that they were doing. That is not the way we do nahi anil munkar. That is very, very serious. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that a person who conceals the faults of his brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal his faults on the day of Qiyamah. And when a person exposes the faults of his brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose his faults so much so that he will be disgraced even within his very own home. So we don't want that ever to happen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. Another text story is WhatsApp. We've heard and we use, and we WhatsApp is a daily part of our life. Now those on WhatsApp can testify to the offensive or inciting nature of many messages that pop up in the umpteen groups that you are part of. Now, what many would have dismissed as rumors or rants, however, tend to be taken seriously by some with real-world consequences. Law enforcement agencies and cyber law experts say that existing laws in India are vague as far as fixing responsibility for such messages. While few cases have been registered so far to establish a trend, some recent ones in Maharashtra in India have seen the group admins, the admins of the group, being booked in each case. And if you're a group admin on WhatsApp, the messages the people send on there and the issues that come up on there, if they can be considered violent or if they can be considered terrorist linked and things like that, you can be held responsible because of that. And so that is one worry and concern for people who are WhatsApp group admins. You're an admin of a group, but I think there's a certain degree of responsibility that comes. A question that was asked from some experts, but why do admins end up taking the blame? Because if the police fail to locate the person who sent the post, the offensive post, then they will take action from the group members or the admin. And what if it was just forwarded from another group? He replied that it's not offensive to receive any information, but if the person forwards it without knowing the veracity of it, without knowing its genuineness, there's a loss or wrong done to someone, then that person will come under investigation. And then also, if you don't know that the message was harmful, then the onus is on the admin who has to verify before they actually forward the message to someone else. So that means people on WhatsApp need to be very careful about that. Another interesting thing, if you own an Apple iPhone 6 Plus, there's an announcement that has come from Apple, a number of users of iPhone 6 Plus reported that their devices were taking blurry or low-quality images through the eyesight cameras. That means that's the rear cameras, the cameras at the back of the phone. 8-megapixel eyesight camera has built-in image stabilization, a 5-element lens, an f/2.2 aperture, and autofocus with focus pixels. Now, they say that in a small percentage of iPhone 6 Plus devices, the eyesight camera has a faulty component, and that may fail, causing your photos to look blurry. What you need to do if you have an iPhone 6 Plus is that Apple will replace that camera in your phone for free, provided the serial number checker for users to see if they are eligible for the program is given, and your phone service provider won't be able to help. So MTN, Vodacom, etc. in South Africa won't be able to help. You have to go to Apple for a replacement for the camera. And you can make an appointment at an Apple store, contact technical support on Apple, and will be eligible for a replacement of your camera, not of your whole phone. Another interesting story, ants self-medicate on toxins when they are sick. Now, ants know how to self-medicate and consume toxic substances to fight fungal infections. This finding was made by a team of university biologists from Helsinki, and they poison healthy ants with harmful hydrogen peroxide to prove the theory. The team wanted to show that a healthy ant would never ordinarily consume the substance because of its toxicity, and if they consume it in the wild, it was a deliberate act of self-medication, and then they had another substance to clear out the infection, and the ants basically self-medicated. There's another issue that has come up, or some rumor that has been circulating, that an impact near Puerto Rico was set to occur between 15th and 20th September 2015, originating from a prophecy told to Reverend Efrain Rodriguez by none other than God himself. The rumors had suggested that the impact would cause wanton destruction to the Atlantic and Gulf coasts of the United States and Mexico, as well as Central and South America. And so this is a rumor that has been traveling around. So NASA has stated in clear, unequivocal terms that a world-ending asteroid impact will not occur. The NASA was forced to issue the denial after rumors went viral online that U.S. government was covering up the news to prevent panic. There's no scientific basis, they say, not one shred of evidence that an asteroid or any other celestial object will impact Earth on those affected dates. And so NASA clears this up and makes sure that people don't start panicking because of this. And then, well, there's another story, another message I received from my engineer, who says that in the UK, working on hydrogen battery that can run an iPhone 6 Plus for a full week. So that will be, actually, if you have an iPhone 6 Plus that can run on a battery that lasts for a full week, is excellent. Another research, new research that has been done, certain people have a personality which is a work personality, meaning that they attack or they approach each project or each relationship or each thing that they are doing based on a work type of personality, that they will do it, approach it with a work attitude. So they have a work personality, but studies have revealed that they are socially, this type of a person who has a work personality is one in which you stifle your emotions to appear more direct, more organized than you are in everyday life. And the background and motivation for the study was that previous studies going back a while now have shown in various ways that people who use expressive suppression experience social costs. They have less social support, less satisfying social lives, they experience trouble getting close to others. So the next question is why, what is going wrong? And then they went through the study and you find people who have a sort of work mentality or work approach. And so they find their social lives suffer slightly. Also, as a benefit for iPhone users, you know, Android users were able to use WhatsApp on the website or WhatsApp on the internet. Now, WhatsApp has finally opened its web app to iPhone users. Now, this is the latest news is that WhatsApp has announced the desktop version of its messaging app is now compatible with Apple's iOS operating system. The service has been available on Google Chrome since the start of this year, but couldn't be used by those with an iPhone due to Apple platform limitations. Now, the latest release means Apple users can now link the app, the WhatsApp app, with their computers. To use the service, WhatsApp must be updated to the latest release. Open the app, click on settings, and then choose WhatsApp Web. And then in Google Chrome, you go to WhatsApp Web and scan the QR code to chat with friends from your computer. The web client is simply an extension of your phone, and so it makes things that much easier, that much simpler. And excellent. I think it's a beneficial thing and makes it easy instead of looking when you're at work, you look at your computer, you look at your phone, look at your computer, look at your phone. Now, you're just looking at your phone for everything that you need. Or you look at your computer, for that matter, for everything that you need. Quite beneficial, quite good, but obviously we know that the rules and etiquettes of WhatsApp, etc., needs to be maintained at all times. It's 26 minutes after 11. You're listening to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Coming up after the break, we're going to be speaking to Malana Yahya Bamsap, and the topic that we're focusing on today is Qurbani and choosing the correct animal. That is the topic we're going to be looking at, choosing the correct animal, animal-related. What are we going to be slaughtering for Qurbani and for Eid al-Adha this year. That is the topic of our discussion today, inshallah Aziz. Stay tuned to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International.
Mom, I'm hungry.
The food is not done yet, my love, but I have a killer fragrant rice in the meantime.
Wow, Mom, this rice is so soft, fluffy, and smells lovely.
Yes, my child, this is the purest fragrant rice that you'll ever find.
For more info on Akila Fragrant Rice, call Flavor Foods on 011-493-2397 or visit www.akila.co.za. That's A-K-I-L-A. We also stock a wide range of rice, beans and sugar in our warehouse in City Deep, Johannesburg.
Dua when entering masjid.
Allahumma ftahni abwaab rahmati.
Oh Allah, open for me the doors of your mercy.
Santac, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. We have in place a dual frequency connection period, which means that both the old and new settings will work until the 31st of August 2015. As of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work with the new settings. Under the circumstances, retuning may be done by the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website, www.radioislam.org.za. Bring your decoder in for retuning at Radio Islam's offices from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in Lanasia, 35 Cuckoo Avenue. Phone our call center during office hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022. And receive instructions on how to retune your decoder. If you are tuning your decoder on your own, you will require a TV monitor. Our technical team will be visiting different areas throughout South Africa. In the Gauteng province, our team in Lodium on Tuesday the 25th of August, 359 Mink Street. Contact number 071-878-9748. Technicians for the Gauteng region, Ibrahim Shah, 079-138-4961. Molana Ibrahim Pirali, 074-034-7860. Abdul Haq Panchbhai, 074-786-7860. Safwan Khan, 061-257-5789. Please bring along your remote for retuning.
A world-renowned Nasheed reciter, Qari Ihsan Mohsin Qasmi of India, will grace the shores of South Africa as a special guest of Madrasa Ziaul-Badr for a month-long tour in August, insha'Allah. Madrasa Ziaul-Badr, in conjunction with Spiritual Cause, will be hosting an array of fundraising dinners and masajid programs across South Africa. For further information, call Kari Musa Siddat on 083-786-4221.
When the sun rises, it rises for everyone. Join Molana Junaid Jassat on Al Mashriq, Monday to Thursday between 11 and 12 p.m. live out of Ermelo, Mpumalanga, the place where the sun rises. Regular contributions by Molana Yahya Bam, Molana Ahmed Chohan, and Idris Khamisa.
It's almost 21 minutes to 12. Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. And a very, very warm welcome this morning to my guest, Molana Yahya Bam Sahab. Molana Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you keeping this morning, Molana?
Shukr e Khudai Pak, Molana. Very, very well.
Alhamdulillah, shukr. That's good to hear. Molana, we are looking at the last few days before Qurbani, and it's just a few days left. We are already, in terms of our Islamic date, well into the month of Dhul-Qa'dah. We are well into the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, and inshallah al-Aziz, very soon into Dhul-Hijjah, and then preparing ourselves thereafter for the days of Qurbani and Hajj. People have left already for Hajj, and you know, that is well underway. Now it comes time for us to do preparations for Qurbani, for those of us who have been left behind. In terms of Qurbani, the first thing that we look at is our animal for Qurbani, and inshallah we will be discussing about that today, inshallah.
Sahih, Mawlana. Those that are gone for Hajj are in Hajj already, alhamdulillah, and those that have remained, they will now be preparing for the Qurbani in its various ways. One is the purchasing of the animal, where they're going to be slaughtering, what will be the program on each day, where in the farms, or where are they going to go to complete this fariza. And then, yes, how exactly the animal will be slaughtered, these are areas that we need to speak about. So we start, and then the distribution of the meat and what follows thereafter. At the moment we are looking at what about the purchasing of the animal, where do we purchase the animal, and how much and which way to go about the negotiating. This is very important. And then to what extent are we interacting with the animal? One is the remote control type of qurbani that is done, with the money sent to whichever country in Africa or in different parts, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and it is just the negotiating of an amount that we need to get the wages, the money paid, and the qurbani gets done. It's very, very remote control. But in any case, as we said last week, that one is the animal that you purchase here. Do as many qurbanis as you can here. And once you feel that enough has been done here, the meat is well distributed amongst friends, families, neighbors, a lot of the meat is going to be consumed by those that you want to invite and give some sort of cooked food also. But beyond that, if you want to do more qurbanis, then it be sent out of the country. In this country of ours in South Africa, we need to just talk about this a little more, that qurbani in the initial years when our fathers and grandfathers landed here, then one was that they were very closely attached to India, Pakistan. They sent the qurbanis there, one. And number two, here the sheep especially, the sheep were not available with the full tail, because in the Karoo and in the desert areas and the rains that we get in the throughout the year, the animal's tail and the bottom of the tail becomes moist and remains moist, and worms form. Therefore, they cut the tail of the animal the moment it is born, very, very short. And initially, ulama gave the fatwa that, all right, short tail then short tail. But to get the qurbani started among the people here, they gave the allowance, making that qiyas on this matter, that a khassi qurbani, a castrated animal, becomes a very good, strong animal, and there is nothing wrong with an animal like that. So because the animal is castrated, and as a result of that, you're getting a good product, in the very same way, with the tail cut, you're getting a good product. But today, better medical facilities and arrangement, animals will not fall into that rot very early, and you can care for the animal. And therefore, the long tail is recommended, and there are ulama and the muftis that are of the view that the short-tailed animal has a nooks in it. It should not be a short-tailed, here we're talking especially of a sheep, a lamb. It should not be short-tailed, it should be long-tailed. Like it should have no injuries, or it should not be blind in one of both the eyes. In the similar way, the tail should not be cut, although there are many that take it from the angle of its health and for health reason, for the better animal, the tail has been cut. From that angle, they have still given the permission that sheep with a full tail and a cut tail both can be used, Maulana.
Okay, but the preferable animal to purchase and to use would be the one which has a full tail.
Obviously and definitely, it will be the more preferred, and it will be a more acceptable animal. And the one with the tail cut might be, as I said, by some ulama questioned and ruled as not acceptable.
Yes, and perhaps, Maulana, in this time and age where, alhamdulillah, many of the farmers and many of the qurbani operators have good relationships with the farmers. There are many, many animals available that have a full tail, and animals that definitely, you know, there's easy availability of those type of animals without any issues of health, etc. Then we should definitely use that animal with a full tail.
Ji Maulana, 100%. Although there is one more matter that needs to be taken into consideration, and that is with regards to the price of the animal. I'm just putting a rough estimate. Let us say an animal is 1,000 rands on the market, but now for a full tail you're going to pay 2,000 rand. Then you should rather do a goat or a cow, or send your money out. Let it not be that you pay that exorbitant price. Let the farmers go to town in inflating the price of the long-tailed animal, knowing that this is what the Muslim people are going to be hunting and looking for. We cannot allow. The same applies to the bargaining of the animal. It is said that don't over bargain to such a limit that you don't buy the better animal, one, or that farmer does not want to trade with you as the result of your approach in bargaining. Yes, you do want to pay a realistic price, but let there not be an over bargaining. But that does not mean on the other side that a person can skin you and take the price they want, whatever the price, whatever heavy prices, like we had in our country, Maulana, a time when Hajj, for example, was an extraordinarily inflated price. Time has come when we need to apply our skills and those farmers that are sympathetic to Muslims and the Qurbani, that they try to make possible for people the Qurbani without having paid this inflated, heavy, huge prices unnecessarily, Maulana.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so we need to be very conscious about that as well. Obviously, there has to be a balance between the two. And Maulana, you know, just on the issue of the tail, quoting from a fatwa by Mufti Ibrahim Desai Saab of Camperdown, he mentions that in principle, if half or more than half of an animal's tail is cut, the qurbani of such an animal is invalid. The juridical references below may be referred to. One must endeavor to find an animal where the goat, sheep or cow with a full tail or more than half the tail. There was a fatwa issued in the past that the qurbani of an animal without a tail or cut tail is valid. The circumstances of that time were different. Presently, farmers breed animals with tails and such animals are available. Qurbani is a sacred act of worship. It should be carried out with due diligence. One must avoid a doubtful situation. If Muslims are determined to slaughter only animals with tails, this will create a demand in the farmers to produce animals with tails and prevent them from docking in the future. However, if Muslims show laxity in this regard, then animals will continue to be docked and the ideal animal for qurbani will not be available. And this is written by Abdul Azim Ibn Abdul Rahman, student of Darul Iftah, USA, checked and approved by Mufti Ibrahim Desai Saab. So I think this should be our standard when it comes to choosing the animal for qurbani, inshallah.
Maulana, I just want to put one overriding masala there. very good that a person goes towards taqwa and a person tries to comply as best as possible. But if it's going to lead to two families going to almost war and fighting and shooting and argument and the breaking of hearts, and Muslims become qurban because of that qurbani masala, then don't fall into such arguments. You follow the alim that you are following, and the alim or the mufti that has given you a fatwa with regards to the qurbani, and that alim that you are normally taking your rulings from, if that alim told you that your animal the way you are, he knows your circumstances, and he tells you go ahead, let it not be a fitna. Let us carry on. Those that are doing the qurbani, these are just guidelines, and try to steer towards the perfect, but let it not be that amongst us it becomes a reason for war and fitna, Mawlana.
Okay. Mawlana, this is as far as what is commonly used in qurbani in South Africa, the sheep. What about cattle?
With regards to the cattle, again here, Mawlana, a very, very important masala, that the animal's age, I think it is 2 years, is that right, for a cow?
Yes.
Now, what they do is that farmers today pump that animals with steroids and things. It might be a 6-8 month old animal, but it will be bigger than a 2 year old animal in size and build. But the animal in reality is not of age to be of 2 years acceptable for qurbani. Then in that case, your qurbani is not going to be done. Be very mindful, be very careful that it is grown, and it is in reality, you have to ask a farmer to recognize that animal in the growth of its teeth, etc., whether it is 2 years old or not.
Mm-hmm. So you have to be very careful. In fact, one of the qurbani operators locally just called me the other day to say that that they have cattle available, and their cattle are not fed with all with alternative things. They are fed proper grain and proper grass, and they are healthy cattle, you know, with healthy meat as well. So it seems that among the farmers there are many who feed the cattle. One thing that he mentioned was they put chicken manure into the feed as well.
These are all ways and means of making that animal blow up. And then there are injections injected into that animal to hold back water, etc. Not only in the cattle, even in sheep and in goats. Therefore, to know that the correct choosing is also part and parcel. I mean, look at the beauty of Islam. Some knowledge of farming and raising of animals is also part of our deen. Like the knowing of geography and keeping in mind with Qibla, all wherever we go, we need to know which direction what is. With regards to time, we need to know what time sun is rising and setting. You can't be ghafil wherever in the world, because namaz is going to be farz on you, namaz direction is going to be farz on you, water and park, na park, halal. You need to be aware and acquainted. In the very same way, we need to know a little bit of animals, when they are and what the ages are. This is another beauty of the Islam. Mawlana?
Yes, that's a beauty, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us responsible for knowing, just with this aspect of qurbani coming into our lives, we know and we can give our children an understanding of animals, understanding of where their food and where their meat is coming from, and understanding of respect for animals. And there are so many different lessons just because of the aspect of qurbani that is included in our deen. Mawlana, if this one compulsion of qurbani was not in our deen, it wasn't there, then our children would have no idea of animals and where the meat comes from, and if we do not make an effort to take them to the farm.
Yes, and sometimes I have seen children not wanting to go to the farm because of the manure there, or because of the blood and flies. Ya Allah, we need to teach the children that sometimes you need to bear all those things. Then in Hajj, in the days of Mina, we see that some people can't stand the difficulty of the toilets and the long queues and things. It starts here. So yes, with regards to taking them, and the women being part and parcel of the slaughtering process, if it's somebody's qurbani, they should slaughter. And if really, because of the parda especially, that will not be upheld, she should stand there and see her animal being offered in sacrifice. She should be part and parcel of the reading and the making of the dua and things. This is all important aspects of the qurbani to be upheld. While we're saying the dua, Maulana, just a precautionary matter very quickly to those that are doing their qurbani. When you got the knife in your hand and you got the animal laying, now you start reading the long dua while you're keeping the knife right over the neck of that animal, that is not jais. You go on the side somewhere and read all every part of the long duas and niyats that want to, but when the animal is laid down and when you come with the knife in front, slaughter. And then the slaughtering should be done the correct way. One of you, two or three very quick masail. One is that once we've taken that sharp knife and cut over most of that gullet and veins that are here on the neck, then we don't need to go further and take the edge of the knife and pierce it in and break the neck, and all that is not necessary. The moment you've cut the main arteries and the blood flow is correctly in process, we should take the knife away and step back and allow that blood to flow out. So then the dua that was read should have been read earlier. At that time when we slaughter, now to immediately start pouring cold water for the coolness of the animal. No, now it's not coolness. Now that blood must flow out. Now you don't need to start putting your hand there and wanting to do something else. Yes, sharp knife was essential. And once the slaughtering is done, now let the blood flow. Hello, Jimala.
We will take a short break now, Maulana, inshallah, Aziz. We'll come back just after that break.
Inshallah.
Listeners, please stay tuned to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International.
Yo ya no quiero, gracias.
Yo votaba cero por mí, es aquí una buena jugadora.
Está bien, me rindo.
No matter where you come from or what language you speak, Beres Motor Spares is the place to go. We stock motor spares and car accessories of high standards at an impressive price. Years of experience in the motor spares industry ensures that you get the best advice. Beres Motor Spares, 48 Peter 8th Avenue, Alberton North.
Call us on 011-901-3100. Attention all traders, supermarkets and spazas. Visit Devlin Cash & Carry for all your deep cut specials on all listed groceries. Distributors of the widest range of household detergents and perishable goods. Open 7 days a week. Devlin Cash & Carry. Call 011-989-8800. Corner Klepkas and Person Road, Devlin.
Santac, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. We have in place a dual frequency connection period, which means that both the old and new settings will work until the 31st of August 2015. As of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work with the new settings. Under the circumstances, retuning may be done by the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website, www.radioislam.org.za. Bring your decoder in for retuning at Radio Islam's offices from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in Lanesia, 35 Kuku Avenue. Phone our call center during office hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022. And receive instructions on how to retune your decoder. If you are tuning your decoder on your own, you will require a TV monitor. Our technical team will be visiting different areas throughout South Africa. Schedule for the KwaZulu-Natal province is as follows. In Ladysmith on the 25th of August. 9 Madras Road, Madrasa Darul Khair. Contact 073-750-0030. In Greytown, on the 26th of August, corner Durban and Bell Street. Contact 073-702-7867. The technicians for the KZN region, Kasim Variaba, 076-934-3138. Or Ismail Henry, 073-372-0646. Please bring along your remote for retuning.
When the sun rises, it rises for everyone. Join Molana Junaid Jassat on Al Mashriq, Monday to Thursday between 11 and 12 p.m. live out of Ermelo, Mpumalanga, the place where the sun rises. Regular contributions by Molana Yahya Bam, Molana Ahmed Chohan, and Idris Khamisa.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam. It is 8 minutes to 12, and my guest this morning, Maulana Yahya Bamsab. Maulana Sab, continuing with our discussion on Qurbani, inshallah al-Aziz. When it comes to choosing an animal, for people who don't have experience in animals or in the type of animals to choose, and the prices of animals as well, what should they be looking out for? Okay, it seems that we're trying, Maulana has not been on the other side of this call, but we'll still carry on, inshallah al-Aziz. And when you choose your Qurbani animal, what is the special thing that you look out for in the Qurbani animal? Or do you just choose at random? What do you actually look out for when you're choosing your Qurbani animal? I think most people look at size. I think size is one of the first factors that you look at when you're choosing your Qurbani animal. But there are multiple other things. Sometimes it's not just size that matters there. Do we have Maulana Yahya Bam back with us?
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Maulana, when a person is choosing a Qurbani animal, what is it that they have to look at? Is it just size that is important in choosing a Qurbani animal?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maulana, this is why a khassi animal, a castrated animal, is preferred over an ordinary animal. The reason for that is the fat, the meat structure, the goodness, the better quality in that meat, where it has been fed. If, for example, if it has been fed grain feed, and you know, these type of foods, rather than that animal that is grazed outside in the open, there is a big difference in the meat and the quality of the meat. Therefore, that which is better, that which is more loved, that which is more beautiful and attractive, all these are things to be taken into consideration in a Qurbani. If, for example, in a sadaqah of animal that you're just slaughtering one, or in the case where you are making an aqiqah, that is different. But if you are slaughtering for Qurbani, the attractiveness and the beauty needs to be taken into consideration. Although the compliance is first most important. For example, age-wise, it has no defects on it. Next to it will be the beauty and attractiveness of that animal. Then to keep that animal and allow some muhabbat and closeness between you and the animal to happen. But now if you're going to get a cow ye in our houses in Linz, then you're going to get a huge problem with a buffalo or a cow going wild or something. So reasonable within the allowances. For example, if you have a goat or a sheep, you can bring it home. You can bring a few home. You can walk them, and like I said before, in Bombay, if a person goes to Bombay now, this month and a half, the same with Karachi, in many of the bigger cities, there they will have the animal, where they will have garlands on the animal, they will have put mehndi on the animal, and the little children after school will especially take the animal for a walk, feed the animal, buy expensive, real good fruits and things at times, chana and kaju and these type of things to feed that animal of theirs, and really that even improves and increases the value of that animal much more. And by the time Qurbani comes, not is it that it's very attractive only, but the children will have fallen in love with that animal, and the Qurbani becomes a Qurbani.
MashaAllah. So it really brings the whole family basically together when it comes to Qurbani.
Allah, Allah, that we have seen over and over, and we have mentioned on this program, there were those among the Akabirin that used to buy, for example, when the Qurban is coming 1 or 2 months earlier, they will buy the goat for next year's goat, not this year's, a little baby, and they will grow it in their house. That little lamb becomes part and parcel of the family's life, and you won't believe what type of attraction and closeness grows. And then when the time of Qurbani comes, try it and see.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's really great, like you're giving off part of yourself. That's basically what it is like.
Bishak, definitely, Maulana. And then with regards to the slaughtering itself also, and the meat, let it be that meat is, I mean, the sum of our, it's not a custom, but it was the correct way of the deed, in that your meat, a third of it you're going to keep, a third of it you're going to give to the poor, and a third is for the neighbors and the family. Now that used to be that neighbors and family was part and parcel of the proper practice of the years gone by. You used to, on the evening, especially by the first day, you'll have the animal. I mean, there weren't such fridges and machinery to cut the animal as they do now. They take it into a freezer for 3, 4, 5, 7 days. Then the butcher will cut it, and some pieces will be given. I don't know whether that is being happening where they give or not. But I know in the past you used to actually take your meat and one part, one third, which needs to be given to the people in need. Then you will get your baki the first day, or by at least the second day you will have cut up the animal, and the third you have kept at home. The other third that you want to go and give out, you will need beautiful little parcels, and house to house, some of the meat is going to be given to, for example, this brother, this friend, this ex-neighbors, etc. You go and give it by their houses.
We have to terminate our program right now, give time for the new staff. Jazakallah khairan for your time. And we will speak next week, inshallah, Aziz.
Inshallah, jazakallah, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran to Mawlana Yahya Bamsab, shukran to Brother Tufail, my studio operator. Shukran to you for listening from Junaid Jasad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.